Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello, everybody. We are in Nash, Vegas, still recording. That's what we call it. Nashville is like Las Vegas if a bunch of Christians were in charge.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mini.
It is, but it's all like you go to the honky-tonks and nobody's honking or tonking. It's more family-friendly. I mean, there's stuff that's not family-friendly.
Maybe if you go at night.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I go there in the day, so yeah. I don't know what you're doing. But you know, what's it, the Bluebird Cafe?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just pretty cool.
Yeah, Nashville.
So I was texting my wife. I get an Uber and, deep Southern accent. You know, how are you? And I'm like, I'm doing great. And so it's so welcoming, but it's a little jarring.
Yeah.
Because you come from Canada, but when you've been living in Chicago for the last 3 years,
and
the deepest Southern accent, not a little bit. The guy in the cab was like, this guy, you would know him, Jimmy Disney.
Jimmy,
I co-planted the church with at Grayson.
Jimmy's Ubering now?
No, it wasn't Jimmy, but he's got an accent like Jimmy.
Okay, yeah.
He's got an accent like, no, there's anything wrong with Ubering.
Yeah.
That'd be a good church planter job, actually.
Oh, for sure.
But no, Jimmy's full-time at the church we planted. But my point is Jimmy's got this great accent, and I texted Donna. I said, I am fixing to be in Nashville. So it's good stuff. So
well, Philip Nation, too, has
a
good...
Yeah, he does. He's moving back to Nashville.
No kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Nash Vegas. Man. Yeah. But all this, everyone's built... If I was planting a church, Nashville would probably be the place. All these people moving in.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I guess everyone else knows that, too. There's a lot of church plants.
Oh, it's intense.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, today's question came from Twitter as well, and here it is. What's your best advice for a planter who doesn't have a core team of 50? I love this, and in brackets, or even 10 for that matter.
Because 50 seems
a lot. Yeah. No,
I don't know anyone. I guess I know some. Yeah.
And then this individual says, okay, well, for the more missionary-minded 0-1 planter, quote unquote, who feels called to an area of people, area or a people group. What's your best advice
for them? My best advice is use less brackets and quotes. That was a lot of brackets.
Brackets, quotes, parentheses.
Hey, you know, that's normal. I mean, first of all, 50 is kind of a very uncommon number. You know, 20, 30, that's more common. I think that's what we had when we launched couple churches. So what I would say is people have been planting churches like that forever. Mm. The whole launch thing people did it before in the, 1000 AD, I guess, I don't know. But nobody was thinking that way much until the mid-80s anyway. So, you know, Larry Lewis in his book, what's it called? Intro to church planting, maybe something like that. He just said, start with two people and then invite two others. Yeah. And then when you get to four faithful families, start having Sunday services.
Yeah.
So you could just follow that pathway. There's nothing, I think it's fascinating to me. And this is partly because I wrote my dissertation on the development of church planting processes in the late 80s. It's fascinating to me that people ask questions like that as if that, how do we plant without a core group of 20 to 50? Yeah. Well, I guess you could ask that, how did everybody do that before 1986? Because that's what everybody did.
Well,
and that's what the majority of non-white churches do too.
Yeah, but there's a body of literature, a growing number of organizations and conferences where launch large
is the deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but I would say that it's that way because there is a value to that. The value of that is you can get to self-sufficiency faster.
Yeah, and you have a course, Breaking the 200 Barrier.
I do Breaking the 200 Barrier.
Right? So if you can launch large enough. Sort
of, thanks for that little reference.
Yeah, well, no, but it's true, right?
Yeah,
if you can launch large enough.
Launch large enough, you get a serious sense of momentum, financial sustainability. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a denominational leader, I want to say launch large because then I could support you maybe 3 years, depending on where you are, and you're fully self-sufficient. You're helping start other churches.
Yeah.
It is a slower process to plant churches more organically like this, where you're reaching one family at a time. It's better in some people's mind to get all the fish in the barrel, and then you fish. So being fishers of men, if you get all the fish in one barrel and they start even attending church. Now, again, that's what I've done. I mean, I've done that, six times, I guess. And I'm for that, but I'm also for recognizing that that's not the only way to do it. And what I would say in some areas, by the time you build a core group of 30 people, it takes you 4 years to do that.
Yeah.
And you can't keep telling them, well, we're not a church. Just be a church.
Yeah.
A church of 20. There's no shame in that. That's a good thing. Praise God for that.
Yeah. The advice, though, is if you're going to do it this way and not do the launch large approach, and this is not an invalid approach or a lesser approach, which I hope you're hearing. I hope you're hearing that this is, as Ed explained, I mean, people have been doing this for centuries. So, but if you do want to launch small for that 0-to-1 planter who, and you feel called to an area or people, then get a job.
Yeah.
Get another job. Sure. Be bivocational, co-locational.
Yeah. Because small, you know, small is bad to people today. It shouldn't be bad.
No.
And small, slow, you know, there's even a book called Slow Church. You know, there's a sense that there's a strength to that.
Yeah.
The difficulty is our funding models are built, particularly those that developed in the last 20 years, on the large launch model. So our funding models are, now I didn't take any funding for the last church we planted, actually the last several churches. We didn't take any denominational funds because I was often working for, and I wanted to avoid any conflict of interest. I can think the last time we took funding, you know, we were self-sufficient 1 year. And so by the time 2 years were in, we had given more back to the denomination than they gave us.
Yeah.
So it makes sense if you're a denominational worker. But it's more, and I think he or she used the word correctly. He said, she said missionary.
Yeah.
It is a more missionary approach. It's one at a time where one of the challenges is the large launch assumes kind of a harvest mentality. There's a group of people that can be harvested simultaneously. And sometimes I've heard Chuck Kelly, who was president of a seminary in my denomination, he once said that we are a harvest denomination in an unseeded field. So if you are in an unseeded field, isn't that great line? Yeah. But if you're in an unseeded field, large launch in Boston probably doesn't make as much sense. Weren't you in Montreal at some point?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Montreal is just a whole different field.
No, completely.
Though, ironically, there are a couple people who have done it.
Well,
I would
because
say the vast majority
they're getting
don't.
They're getting the people from other
Is that right? Drawn from
churches.
Churches or students. I know a lot of students have been involved. Yep. So if you're going to reach unchurched people in Montreal, it's probably not. You're going to have to think like a missionary, get a job. It might take 5-6 years. Have a long view. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Danae Pierre spoke last couple days at CPLF. And
we're in Nashville after the CPLF 2-day meeting.
Yeah. And she's the executive director of Surge Network. And we'll put in the show notes a podcast and an interview behind the scenes thing that we did with her as well. But here's a line that I wrote down in my notes. This is what she said. We sometimes have this McDonald's approach to church planning where it's the most number of hamburgers as quickly as we can to the most people.
Huh.
But church planting isn't like this. And it's interesting how often our normals or what we think should be normal or what we're trying to achieve or measure ourselves against is this idea of we need to gather this harvest, but the seeds weren't planted 5-10 years ago.
That's savage. I mean, I like that quote.
Oh, yeah.
You should have like tweets from the CPLF. CPLF, by the way, stands for Church Planting Leadership Fellowship. It's not for church planners per se. It's for the heads of church planting for denomination and networks. But we've heard some great things the last 2 days. Yeah, so I would just say that recognize that this kind of planting is different. Now, again, I mean, the launch is kind of one category, but there's like, you could be not large launch and be starting a coffee shop, doing a missional incarnational approach. You could be multiplying rather than growing large, a house church approach. You could be growing large, but going from 2 to 4 to 6 to 8 to 10.
Yeah.
So there's like, it's like five forks in the road and you have to decide what you're going to do. But the forks in the road shouldn't be large launch or unsuccessful. Those are not the forks in the road.
Yeah.
Large launch is one path that a lot of churches have used and a lot of denominations have affirmed, and I'm good with all of those things.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately we've got to recognize there are different ways to do it.
Yeah, and one of the things that was repeated over the last couple of days was this idea of portfolio, right? The idea of portfolio, a different ways that church planting needs to happen so that we can reach all kinds of people. Yeah. So a more missionary-minded, feeling called long-term to an area or people is a really good thing. We need that. We need that alongside of the launch large. It's just you need to carefully consider the finances. But the good news is that we are living in the gig economy. And in February, my next book comes out.
Oh, well.
It's all about this.
Let's say first, gig doesn't mean the speed of your internet. Means the job. Because people think that. They think, it means that people have different jobs.
If you live in Chattanooga, that's probably what you think.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they have banner.
I know. They're so crazy. But I have multiple gigs at the same time.
Yeah, multiple jobs, side hustles. So the book is You Are What You Do and 6 Other Lies About Work, Life, and Love. And I wrote the whole book based on the fact that we are now living in this economy where multiple jobs is a normal thing. And as pastors and church leaders and church planners, we need to be thinking about this as well. If you are called long-term missionary-minded, and I'm even saying if you're on church staff right now and you have side hustles that you think could actually fully support you, give up some of your salary in your church so that you can hire a ministry coordinator or hire someone else and you know, build that capacity that way rather than, hoarding.
Hoarding. Is that what it is? Hoarding? Well, you know, I planted here, I didn't take a salary because I was employed by Lifeway and I didn't need to. So volunteer. So that's not a bad thing to do. I would just say that you have to be realistic that that with a large launch, you might get to self-sufficiency in 5 years. Mm. That's not uncommon. I think 4 years is, I'm trying to remember, I should know this off the top of my head. I do 2 out of 3, I think, are self, no, it's not. It's 1/3 are self-sufficient, 1/3 are still needing some outside support, and 1/3 aren't here anymore. Mm. And so what I would say is if that's the case and you're doing it in a slow, kind of a slow burn, that's a great thing. Just maybe think 5 or 6 years.
Completely.
And I don't think that means you need to raise funds for 5 or 6 years. I think that means you need to raise some funds and probably have some outside employment.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, thanks again for listening in to the New Church's Q&A podcast. Be sure to check out the Ask Me Anything podcast with J.D. Greer and Matt Love as well. They're a part of the Lifeway Leadership Network family, and they've talked about ideas like, what do you find? What do you do if you find out about sexual abuse situations in your church? Or is faith the gift of God? And, you know, they talk about a lot of question-driven. They have a lot of question-driven episodes as well, so be sure to check that out as well. All right, well, thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.